Oh, I love the Lord. You love the Lord here tonight? Yeah. The Lord is so good. He's got so much there for us to get into. And he's just so good. He's just that good. His grace. You know, when I was I said earlier that I was raised atheist. And when I was living in the world, I didn't have hope. And I remember the first moment that I believed. I remember that first moment. I was getting off the expressway in the Fredonia, New York exit. And I believed. And I remember that exact moment. I remember where I was on that turnpike. I remember exactly where I was in that road the moment I made Jesus my Lord. I remember it. And I remember that something in me changed, and I didn't even know what it was. I knew nothing more about the Word of God than I did 5 minutes before that. I knew nothing more about being a Christian than I did 5 minutes before that. But all of a sudden, there's a moment that I believed, that I truly believed, and I accepted Jesus. And my life has never been the same since. And I could have taken that moment, and I could have squandered it and not used the salvation and the gift that Jesus purchased for me. I could have just gone back to my old way of living, and I probably would have been none the wiser. But I chose to step in, and I chose to go on with God, and I chose to get in His Word, and I chose to learn more about Him. And by doing so, my whole life changed. And now I stand before you as someone, a minister of the gospel, as someone who was raised in a household that Christianity was wrong and believing in God was weird, and I didn't believe and never thought I would. And now I stand before you because God changes you that much. He helps you and directs your life that much. That's the hope. That's the future. Yeah. That's right. And He doesn't just do it for one, amen. He does it for us all. Amen. Well, that's not my message here tonight, but praise the Lord. What do my husband? It was free, no charge. Hallelujah. This message tonight is called Fixed Faith. And our devotional every week is called our Faith Fix. And there's a lot of meaning to that word fix. That word fix means to fasten. It means to secure. It means to make steady, to make stable. And it's so important that we make our faith steady, that we fix our faith, that we are secure and stable in our faith in who He is. And every single answer to every one of life's questions is found in whether or not our faith is fixed. And so we're going to get into that tonight here. You know, and this came to me this week, neither faith nor Christianity is a quick fix. We are so used to wanting a quick fix, so used to wanting a quick fix. You know, everything we want in life, we want it now, we want it right now, we want it exactly the way we want it. You know, we've got movies on demand, we can go to fast food restaurants, relationships, jobs, pay, money. We want everything right now. We want a quick fix. We want it right now. You know, we went to the drive-through the other night, and we don't go to fast food too often. We try not to, but it was late, and we hadn't grabbed a bite to eat yet, and one person in our car ordered chicken, and guess what they said? Pull up there a little bit. Well, when the chicken's ready, we'll come out and bring it to you. And I felt for a second, and I didn't share this with anybody until tonight, I'm telling on myself, I felt like frustrated. Come on, we got to go pull up and wait for chicken? And I thought, oh my goodness, how ridiculous that 2 minutes or 3 minutes of my time was so stressful to me. That's ridiculous. A Christian shouldn't be that way. Nobody should be that way. Of course I repented. I'm not, of course, who cares that we waited 2 minutes for chicken? You know, but the society and the way we're taught, we're taught to get frustrated by waiting for anything. We're taught to be so impatient. We're taught to want a quick fix right now. And we can't do that, you know, and we aren't called to live as society trains us. We're called to live as the Word of God trains us. And so we want to make sure that we're not quick fix Christians. Let's look at our keynote scriptures. I'm going to pull this up a couple times tonight. Proverbs 4:20. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 4:20 through 24 says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you." You know, to give us something attention and to incline your ears to something means that you're leaning in that direction. It means you're inclined to go that way. Your attention, your focus, your direction, the way you choose to go, it's in that direction. And the Word of God says, incline your ears, give attention to my words, to the Word of God. That means we should be inclined, leaning towards leaning towards the Word of God as our answer, leaning towards the Word of God as how we're going to respond. We shouldn't be ignoring it. We're attending to it. We're regarding it as something valuable. And that's what the Word's telling us here. It says, regard my Word as something valuable. Put your attention, put your direction, put your focus on my sayings and my Word of God, in the Word of God. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? Because if you don't, you're not going to have the life that's promised by finding the Word of God. The Word of God promises life. It promises everything that we need, but it's only when we give attention to it. It's only when we incline or direct our lives to follow it. Amen. You know, don't let the Word of God depart from your heart. We're going to talk about that tonight. That's why I'm saying these are our keynote scriptures. We're not going to let the Word of God depart from our hearts. We're going to have our faith fixed. So this came to me this week. We don't want to be duct tape Christians. Now, we all love duct tape, right? We all love duct tape. Duct tape comes in all kinds of colors. Now, Ezra loves to make crafts with duct tape. Everybody loves duct tape. And I actually was looking up some facts about duct tape. And listen to this. Annually, duct tape sales equal enough feet to scale Mount Everest and back almost 27,000 times. That's how much duct tape is sold each year. Now, you all know that duct tape is a good Band-Aid when you don't have Band-Aids. You know that duct tape puts a bumper back on a car if you need a quick fix. You know, you've all seen people with their glasses taped or their bicycle taped, or, you know, when we were in college, I've even seen people duct tape holes in the wall and then put a little spackle over top of them, right? Duct tape is known for being a quick fix. It's a quick fix. And it's no wonder that our society today buys enough duct tape to go up and down Mount Everest 27,000 times every single year. That is crazy. We don't want to be duct tape Christians. We don't want to take the duct tape and just Band-Aid over the problem and get that quick fix. We want to make sure we're better than that. God didn't design us to be have-it-now-minded people. He designed us to be patient. He designed us to endure. Yep. He promised us good things. And he said that with faith and patience, those promises would all come to pass. Hebrews 11:6. Let's turn there. No, we don't want to be quick fix people. We're not duct tape Christians up here tonight. Hebrews 11:6. You all should know this scripture. You want to please your Heavenly Father, you should have this scripture in you. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That word diligent is not a quick fix. That word diligent doesn't happen overnight. That word diligent doesn't happen the first moment you accept Jesus. That word diligent means it's taken some time. It's built over time. It's the word diligent in the Greek actually means, it's translated, diligently seek, seek after, seek carefully, require and inquire. Diligently seeking means you're seeking after God conscientiously in a way that shows you actually care. You actually care. And, you know, too many Christians, they could care less about searching for God. They almost want God to search for them, you know, and God is there and he's willing and he's ready for us at any time. But it's our job to seek him. We're going to see that tonight. Actually, go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Oh, the word is so good, you know. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Too many Christians, they're not interested in seeking after God. They don't want to consecrate their lives to God. They don't want to spend time being diligent towards the things of God. They want a quick fix. They just want the duct tape. They just want duct tape. And I love this passage of scripture here. In my Bible, the title of this section of scripture is Keep Asking, Seeking, Knocking. So Matthew 7:7. It says, ask, you ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, you seek, and you will find. Knock, you knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Seeking must be with our whole heart. Seeking is meant to be an action of diligence over time. We don't seek God one time. My husband, he was not going to let me go when he first met me. He was going to marry me. He told me that from day one. And he kept coming back. I was a waitress, and he kept coming back night after night after night. And every single time, he just kept coming in. He was a little bit sweeter, a little bit sweeter, a little bit sweeter, tipped a little bit better. You know, every single time he was diligently seeking me. Boy, do we all diligently seek a whole lot of things in life. People diligently seek relationships like that. People diligently seek money. People diligently seek vacations. People diligently seek a whole lot of things. And we need to make sure that we're not people diligently seeking the things the world seeks, but we're diligently seeking the things of God. We need to seek. We need to ask. We need to knock. We will find when we do those things. We will find. James 1:4 says, let patience have its perfect work. When we're patient, it says we'll be complete and perfect and we'll lack nothing. You know, duct tape is just a temporary solution. Anybody who's ever duct taped their bumper back together has always needed a fix later on. That bumper got in a little too much of a rough road, and that duct tape came undone. It came a little bit loose. The corner peeled back. It got some moisture in it, got some dirt in it, and all of a sudden a little more is peeling off. And before you know it, that duct tape has fallen, the bumper's fallen right off. It didn't fix anything. It was a temporary solution. And we do not want to seek temporary solutions. We want to have the answers that get to the root of the issue. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, people will come into the church. You can go ahead and start turning to James chapter 2. You know, people will come into the church and they'll be broken. Unfortunately, most of the time when people come into the church, it's because they need a change in their life. And it's not because they're living in peace and joy. They're coming because something's broken and they need it fixed. And a lot of people come in and they want to just be duct taped back together so they can go about their business like nothing really ever happened. But the thing with that is you can't duct tape over something and expect it to last. I've seen people, person after person, come in with no job. They lost their job. They got laid off. Their house is in foreclosure, or their car broke down and they have no way to fix it, and they need all these finances. And they come in and they're hurting, and they're seeking after a job, and they're asking the Lord to help them, and the Lord helps them, and the Lord brings a job to them. And all of a sudden, they're like, okay, I'm good. I can go now. That was duct taped. Yeah. They didn't get to the root of the problem. The root of the problem was not that they needed that job. The root of the problem was that they needed Jesus and they needed the faith. See, they were duct taped. Someone will come in, their marriage is in shambles, and they're having trouble, and they're fighting all the time, and you preach a little word into them, and all of a sudden things are looking better in their household. So now we don't need church as much because we're all right. Things are okay. They duct taped over the situation. They didn't get to the root of the problem. We don't want to be quick fix Christians. We don't want church to be our duct tape. We want to make sure that we're getting to the root of the problem. Oh, praise the Lord. James 2:20. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? We need to make sure that if we're coming to the Lord in faith for something to change, that we show him that we actually truly have faith. And faith says, I don't care when things aren't working, naturally speaking, they're going to be all right. And I want you to turn to Mark. It's not far. Go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 11. And we're going to see here faith with works. We're going to see faith that puts action with it. And that's how we need to be. We don't need to be people who just want a quick fix and not have to be diligent and do anything with it. We want to be diligent. We want to put action with our faith. Amen. So we're looking at Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. This is so good. You've all heard this testimony. This is Jesus coming out of Bethany, and he was hungry, right? And we're going to find out where he went to go seek that food that he wanted. verse 12, now the next day when they had come from Bethany, he, Jesus, was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. You know, a fig tree came, I was reading about this in one of my study Bibles. A fig tree, if it had leaves, it was supposed to have fruit. No matter what, either the leaves came, the fruit came before the leaves, the figs came before the leaves came on the tree, that's one type of fig tree, or they came at the same time as the leaves. So no matter what, if you see a fig tree with leaves on it, it's supposed to have figs on it. And Jesus knew that. And so seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. It doesn't mean that the figs weren't supposed to be there. It's just saying there were no figs on this tree. And in response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. So Jesus said, wait a minute, I went over to this thing that was supposed to have provision for me. I went over to this thing that was supposed to have the food for me to eat. And when I got there, it was a liar tree. It was a hypocrite tree. It was telling me, it was saying it had something for me. But when I got to it, there was nothing there. And Jesus says, well, you're not going to do that to me. I'm not going to have lack in my life. So you can dry up and you don't provide for anybody ever again. Because if you're going to take from me and you're going to lie to me, you're not going to have anything. Nobody needs anything from you. And so his disciples heard him say this, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And let's skip down to verse 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Jesus dried up problems from the root. He got to the root of the issue and he took it. He brought the solution to the root of the problem and he dried up things from the roots. What is your problem? What's your problem, guys? No. No, what's your problem? What are you facing? What's your circumstance? Is it financial? Well, let's get to the root of it. Is it health? Is it something physical in your body? Let's get to the root of it. Is there something going on in your household, with your marriage, with your kids? Let's get to the root of it. Let's figure it out. Jesus went right to the root. He didn't say, I wonder if something's, one of these branches is broken. I wonder if maybe the branches were supposed to produce fruit and something's wrong with the branch. Maybe I'll treat the branch. Maybe I'll duct tape the branch. No, Jesus said, I'm drying that up from the roots. I'm getting to the root of the problem, and I'm making sure that it doesn't come back to bite anybody else ever again.
That's right.
You know, we used to have, when we lived in Jamestown, we had this tree. Was it a black locust tree? Yes, a black locust tree in our backyard. At first, it looked like a pretty tree that provided some shade. And then over time, we realized, man, there's a lot of thorns on this tree, and it's dying, and we needed to cut it down. It was starting to tip over. It was a really big tree. It was starting to tip over. How tall? 70 feet tall. So we had to get this tree cut down. So we had the tree cut down a few feet off the ground, right? We didn't have the tree dug up. We had the tree just cut down. We duct taped that tree. We did. We cut that tree down, but we never got to the roots. And guess what? Those black locust trees started popping up all over our backyard, all with thorns and all very annoying and very hard to handle. We duct taped that tree, that problem we had. It was going to fall down, so we cut it down, and we never got to the roots, and the roots kept springing up more and more trouble. And see, that's a picture of what happens to a lot of Christians. We want to duct tape over it. We'll cut it off and try to solve the problem real fast, and then the root of it never changes, so they keep coming back. The problems keep coming back, and we don't want to be that. We want to make sure that we're not just being those quick fix Christians who have the thorns that keep coming back to bite you, keep coming back, coming back, coming back. And the majority of the Christians in the church, I would dare say there's probably people sitting in church right now that are not hearing about this truth, that the truth in the Word of God actually is the way to get to the root of the problems. And so they're not getting the full gospel. They're not getting the truth the whole truth and nothing but the truth, which we believe in around here. And so they don't know how to do this. And we want to make sure that we're Christians who live in this so we can share this with other people. Yeah. Without the Word of God being taught, we cannot get to the root of all the issues of life.
That's right.
You know, every issue in life has to be dried up from the roots. Every problem you're ever going to have, you better get to the root of it or it's not going to be good for you. You know, addiction. Many people come in and they have addictions and they want a quick fix. A quick fix is, well, it gives me something and it distracts me. Going to church distracts me for a while. It gives me something to do. Or well, if I can spend time with this person, they'll distract me from my other stuff. But if they don't get to the root of the problem, which is really believing on Jesus for your help, if you don't get to the root of it, that addiction's not going anywhere. It's just been duct taped. You know, and if you come in and you're afraid of something, and maybe you're afraid like I was of the dark when I was a kid, and all I do is I put a little night light on, oh, that solved my fear problem. No, it didn't. It just duct taped over it. We need to get to the root of fear. We need to get to the root of addiction. We need to get to the root of physical ailments in our body. We need to get to the root of it all. Let's look at Romans 10:17, because this is how we're going to get to the root of it all. Our faith, just like we have to dry up a problem from the roots, our faith must be so deeply rooted in us that all of our answers are in us and the nutrients spring up from the inside of us. And every answer we're ever going to need springs up from the inside of us. That's how we get to the root of the problems. That's how the real issues of life are figured out. Amen. Romans 10:17. This is it right here. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is a constant hearing. The only way, according to the Bible, the absolute only way to get faith is by hearing the word of God. There's no other way to get faith. And we know that faith is everything we're ever going to need for everything that ever comes our way. Faith is the only thing that works better than duct tape. It's the only thing that's better, and it's the number one thing that Christians need to be walking in.
That's right, amen.
All right, let's look at Psalms 1:1-4. Oh, goodness, I love the word. Are you getting this tonight? We want to make sure that we are getting to the root of the issue, and I'm building here. The word of God is building. Psalm 1:1-4. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Remember, we don't want to go with society and what they're saying. Nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But what his delight, his joy, his peace is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, in his word, he meditates day and night. To meditate literally means to mutter, to speak, to say. So the word of God, blessed is the man who in the mouth of him is constantly speaking the word of God day and night. Everywhere you go, the word of God, the word of God, the word of God. God is my supply. God is my healing. God is my strength. The word of God, you know, tells me that I am blessed. The word of God calls me a child of God. The word of God says I have an inheritance. The word of God says that I have all of my needs supplied for. The word of God constantly on your mouth, constantly. That's the blessed man. That's the blessed man. And this is, or woman. And this is what, this is the picture of that blessed man. He or she shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. But the ones who are in the word, meditating day and night, getting the word built in them, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing, even out of our own mouths, faith comes by hearing. Blessed is the man or the woman who constantly is hearing the word of God, constantly hearing it, putting it in, constantly, constantly. They're the ones who have roots established in the ground. They're the ones who are strong, and that's who we want to be. We want to be the ones with roots established. We don't want to get knocked down by the wind. We don't want to get knocked down by the storms. You know, I was watching some hurricane coverage. Oh, so sad, all these hurricanes that had hit, you know. And I was watching some hurricane coverage, and I was watching trees, huge trees, be ripped right up and thrown across by the winds. You know, and a lot of times, there will be like around a beach and things like that, right around the ocean. The ground is different, right? The ground is more sandy. The ground is not as strong a lot of times, you know. And so those trees will get ripped right up and they will fly, you know. We want to make sure that we have our roots established so down deep that when storms of hurricane proportions like the disciples faced in the Bible, because guess what? The devil's still the same devil, still giving us the same kind of trials. When storms of hurricane proportions come through our lives, that we are so firmly planted, our roots of faith are so in the ground that we're not ripped up and thrown off course. Amen. Let's look at Ephesians 3. Verse 14, love the word of God here. We want our faith fixed to the very root of our being, right on the inside of us, amen? Ephesians 3, verse 14, I love the word. Praise God. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, in the inside of us, in our very roots, in the innermost part of our being, that we would be strengthened. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I think we could spend 5 days in this set of scriptures. For we go to Christ for our strengthening on our inner man. And that strengthening comes from hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. And you're all here tonight and you're hearing the word of God, and that's a great step. But we've got to be doing it on our own. We've got to be muttering and meditating and speaking the word of God all the time. We want Christ and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, because remember, the Bible says that Christ is the Word. The Word was Christ, and Christ was the Word. The Word of God should be so rooted in us, so grounded on the inside of us, that we can actually comprehend through faith who God really is. We would actually know all the inner workings of our Father. You know, let's pull up what we started with, John 8, 31 and 32. Because when you read this scripture we just read, that we're able to comprehend the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, this is how. Jesus said to those Jews, to those people who would believe in him, if you abide in my word, if you live in my word, if you make my word of utmost importance, you will be able to understand and comprehend what is the width and the height and the depth of our Lord. That is how we build our faith. That is how we get it on the inside of us. That is how we get it right down to our very roots. That's where it is, in our belly. You see me grabbing my belly. In our belly, on the inside of us, that nothing on the outside can tell us any differently. That no medical report, that nothing your neighbor said, that nothing your colleague said, that nothing your unsaved family member said, that nothing an article said, that nothing some minister on TV said, opposite of the word of God, that nothing anybody else says can get between your true knowledge of who God is on the inside of you. But the only way to do it is to live in his word, to live in his word, to make it the most important thing in our lives. Oh man, praise the Lord. I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to share this. I feel I need to right now. I've been in this book studying on God's healing this week, and this is Brother Kenneth E. Hagin, and I'm going to just read this to you. Can I do this? I'm going to read this testimony to you. Oh, praise the Lord. All right, where is it? All right. In March of 1952, I was in a meeting in Texas City. Pat, our daughter, was a little girl at the time. She had developed a growth, not a sty, but a growth of some kind near her eye. Before I left home to travel to Texas City, I laid hands on her and prayed. But when my wife wrote me on Monday, the growth was still there. It hadn't gone away. So he lays hands on his daughter, and the growth doesn't go away, and he's out of town. And his wife is writing to him. She wrote, Pat wants to know what to tell the nurse when she comes around to check next Monday. At school, she was going to see a nurse. Once a month, the nurse came around to the grade schools and checked their eyes and ears, etc. Pat knew that when the nurse found that knot, she would ask if we had taken her to the doctor. And we hadn't. So all Pat wanted to know was, what am I going to tell the nurse? I received the letter on Tuesday, and I knew I had a little time before I had to answer her. I pushed it out of my mind until that evening service so my attention wouldn't be divided. And that night after the service, I returned to my hotel, listened to the news from 10 to 10:15, turned off the radio, and at 10:15, I picked up my Bible and said to myself, I am going to read the Bible for an hour on the subject of healing. I dare say I could have quoted 90% of the verses in the Bible on the subject of healing. They were all marked in my Bible, but I started with the book of Genesis and read those verses very slowly, right on down through the New Testament. At 11:15, I closed my Bible, turned off the light, and said, I'm going to lie here for an hour and meditate, mutter, speak these scriptures. Dr. Roy Hicks points out, that one meaning of the word meditate in the Old Testament is to mutter. That's what I did. There in the nighttime, in bed, I muttered those scriptures to myself. At 12:15, I said to myself, I'm going to sleep for an hour, then I'm going to wake up and meditate on these scriptures an hour. Then I'll sleep an hour and wake up and meditate an hour until morning. What I needed right then was healing for my daughter. There was no use in my meditating on anything else. No use in thinking about scriptures that promised finances. That's not what I needed right then. I did that right on through the night, and the next night I did the same thing. After the news, I picked up my Bible and read through the scriptures on divine healing slowly, meditated an hour, slept an hour, meditated an hour, slept an hour, right on through the second night. Then on Thursday afternoon, I wrote my wife, I said, in the letter you wrote me on Monday, you said Pat wanted to know what to tell the nurse. I didn't tell her what to tell the nurse. You see, I'd taken the word of God and built it into my spirit. And I didn't go on what I knew about it in my head. I wrote, you tell Pat that Daddy said she's healed. And I know in my heart that she's healed. Just as I know in my head that 2 + 2 = 4 and 3 × 3 = 9. And that's all I wrote about it. My wife told me later that she got the letter, read it, and put it aside until Pat came home from school. Pat was outside playing with dolls. My wife remembered the letter and called her inside. Pat, we got a letter from Daddy here, and here's what it says. You tell Pat that Daddy said she's healed. And I know in my heart that she's healed just as well as I know in my head that 2 + 2 = 4 and 3 × 3 = 9. My wife said Pat stood there a minute as if she were thinking about it. Then she said, if Daddy says so, it's so. She turned around and school hopped outside to play again. By Monday, the growth had disappeared. It was gone. She didn't have to tell the nurse a thing. But notice the key here. You have to get the word of God in your spirit. The word of God can't just be in our heads. We all know how to read scripture. We all know how to say something out loud. But we have to get it so ingrained in us, so inside of us, that nobody can tell us anything different. And I dare say that most of us haven't arrived at that yet. So what's our solution? Our solution is to get into the word, more and more and more. Put it in us. Don't put other things in. Put the word of God in us. You have struggles in your body. Well, then you better get the word about healing in you until the word of God is so ingrained on the inside of you that no doctor, nobody else, no naysayer can tell you any differently, because you know that you know what is the width and the height and the depth of who our God is on the inside of us, on the inside. Glory to God. Our whole lives depend on it. Our whole lives depend on whether or not we will get that word in us. That's it. That's our hope. That's our hope. And it's a good hope. It's a sure hope. It's a sure word of prophecy. It's the sure thing right there. It is not duct tape. It's for real. It fixes things from the inside out. Amen. And nobody can take that from us. Nobody. We need to get so familiar where every breath we take, every place we go, we know the word. We know what the word's answer would say. We know what the word would tell us about it. That's what I said. I started to say this last night in Mayville. and Mabel. When we abide in the word, that means we live there. You know, in my house, I was saying, in my house, I can walk through that house without even being home. And in my mind, I can walk through my house and I can tell you where every nick on the wall is. I can tell you where every stain in the carpet is. I can tell you where I keep my dishes, where I keep my utensils, where we got every single thing in my house. I can walk you through it. Unless it's some paper that I misplaced, you know, sometimes that happens. But you know what I'm saying. When you live somewhere, you know where things are. You know where to find what you need. You know what belongs to you. If we don't live in the Word of God, if we don't act like we live in the Word of God and actually get in there, we don't know what belongs to us. We don't know what we have. We don't know when something's missing, when something's broken. We don't know. But we'll know it if we choose to live in the Word of God. That's what we're talking about here tonight. Getting the Word of God so in us that there's no question. No question. When the devil puts doubt in your head, you say, no, I know where that is. I know where that equipment is. And if I don't know where that equipment is, I better get so familiar with it where I do know where it is. Amen. Let's look at Psalms 119. Oh, man, it fires me up. It's just so good. He's that good. He gave us all the answers we'd ever need. Psalm 119, 10 and 11. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, I want every Christian, myself included, to all be able to say this. This is God's heart for us, you know. With my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. You know, I was recalling, and actually it's funny because I was dwelling on this week, and my husband mentioned it last night in Mayville, but we have talked to ministers over the years who have been missionaries in other countries, and they've shared with us that Bibles a lot of times are illegal, and you can get arrested and even killed for owning a Bible. And so you know what these people who love the Lord and want the Bible and want to know the Word do? They hide that Bible in their hearts. They get that scripture so ingrained in them that they don't need it in front of them. They know it. They know it because they can't have it in front of them. And we're such a quick fix society that we know we can just go on Google and look up the scripture we need. We don't need to have it actually in us. We can just pull it up when we feel like, oh, I need a scripture on healing. So I'll just go to Google and get a scripture on healing instead of actually getting it in us. And I mean, say ouch hallelujah with me because it applies to us all. I want the Word of God more in me. I'm talking to us all. I'm not just talking to you. But there are places where people literally have no choice but to hide the Word of God inside of them. But why, when we have a choice and we have such liberty and such the Word of God so much at our disposal, do we choose not to hide it in our hearts? Out of the Word of God springs the issues of life. Let's get life on the inside of us. That's what Jesus paid for. That's what he paid for. You know, we have to get more of this in our society. We have to get this desire, this hunger, this reality that what if all the computer systems failed? What if Y2K actually shut down everything? And we didn't have the internet to search for things anymore. We didn't have things just at our fingertips like that. And we actually had to fend for ourselves spiritually. What would we do? Would we be lost? We need to get prepared for that. Not that the end of the world is coming, but we need to act like the Word of God is the only place that the Word of God belongs is on the inside of us. We don't need the book to show us. I mean, we do, but you know what I'm saying? Our goal should be to have it on the inside of us. And so I was picturing some pirates, okay, when I was preparing this. Pirates, okay, are always searching after what? Gold, treasure. They want the booty, the treasure, booty like, yeah, no. You know what I'm saying. They want the treasure, the pirate's booty, the gems, the pearls, the riches, right? And they are always going after, so I did, I said that in the pulpit. You're going to make fun of me later. they are always going after somebody's treasure. They're actually thieves, right? Well, the devil is out there and he's always going after something. He's always going after somebody's treasure. And what the treasure that he's going after is the word. The treasure that he's trying to steal is the Word of God. And what do people do in all these pirate movies and pirate TV shows? What do? They try to hide that treasure and bury that treasure so deep on some remote island that nobody could ever discover it. They want it so hidden that it can't be found. That's the goal. Where people years and years and years later can't even find it and steal that treasure. We need to look at the Word of God as treasure. Let's pull up our keynote scripture again here. Proverbs 4:20 through 24, remember. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let's keep going. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Hide the word of God in your heart. Hide it there. Bury it deep inside of you, the word of God. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. The word of God, keep your heart with all diligence. You don't let that word depart from your heart. You keep it inside of you with all diligence. You bury that treasure deep inside of you that no thief can come along. No pirate, no one can steal that treasure from the inside of you. That's what this is talking about here. For out of it spring the issues of life. Every single issue we're ever going to have in life, it comes. The result, the solution comes from the word of God. Everything. In this scripture, okay, life to those who find them. This is what that word life in this scripture means. It means sustenance. It means our source of strength and nourishment. It means to make alive. It means to revive. The word of God gives us new strength, new energy, restoration. That is the result of keeping the word of God in us. That's the result. Issues of life spring up in the roots. So answers to life have to spring up from the roots. The nutrients for life have to spring up from the roots. And the roots are in our heart. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So I ask us all this tonight. How much time are we really spending with the Lord and in his word? How much are we really digging? We can dig for a day, but you know, if you dig and dig and dig and you keep coming back and you keep digging and digging and digging as to bury it deeper and deeper and deeper, you know you're going to have more success than if you just dug for a day. You know, and we need to make sure that we come back again and again and again to the word of God. We come back to the table and we eat. The word of God is our nutrients. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'm going to just pull this scripture up for sake of time. 1 Peter 3:3-4. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. That doesn't mean wearing gold and putting on nice clothes is wrong. But it says, rather, let your adornment, let your time, let your focus be spent, be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Let's let our focus be on the hidden person of the heart. Let's let our focus be on building us up from the inside out. The inside out, the roots of who we truly are, that's where our focus should be. Hiding the word inside of us, getting to the very root of who we are. We need to confess the scripture. We need to get the scripture inside of us. Let's see. I want to show you James 1:21. Why don't you actually turn there? Because this scripture is so good that we want to know where this is. You know, so often Christians are starving spiritually. They're starving. They want help. People who aren't even Christians, people who are Christians, they want help. They're starving. And they come and all they get is that quick duct tape kind of fix. But the root of the issue, like I said, those thorn trees keep coming back. And again, a month later, they're still struggling. And a year later, they're still struggling. And maybe 5 years later, they're struggling even worse than they were before. Because they never get to the heart of the real issue. They never get that implanted word inside of them. That's what the scripture here is about to talk about. We've got to come to the table and eat. We've got to get the word inside of us. James 1:21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Implanted means to be given instruction, to be put inside, to be hidden in, right? We're supposed to get the word, like this scripture says, implanted in us, implanted. And so tonight, you're getting some word implanted in you. I hope you're getting stirred up about the importance of getting the word right inside of you. And so we're doing that tonight. But I just want to pull up John 10:10. Remember this, the devil's a pirate. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. But I dare say that the only way you're going to have that life and the only way you're going to have that life more abundantly is by digging that treasure deeper and deeper and deeper in there so the thief can't come and steal it. implanted word, a word inside of us. I know it with my eyes closed. I know it when I'm not even before. I know it. I know when it's time to serve that dinner, I know where to get the serving platter. I know when it's time to hang that picture. I know where to find the hammer. I know where to find the nails, all the tools, all the equipment hidden on the inside of me. I don't even have to think about it. It's there. As soon as I need it, I know where to get it. That's where the word of God should be in our lives. And I'm going to end here because it all depends on this. James 1:22, you're in that scripture. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. The only way the word doesn't work is when we won't do it. That's it. And the only thing we're doing by not being a doer of the word is deceiving ourselves. We're partnering up with the devil who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and we're deceiving and lying to ourselves. We want our healing. We want our marriages restored. We want our finances in a better place. We want the job we've been believing for. We want our family members to come to the Lord. But we're not doing what it takes by getting the word in us so we know it. When they come to you, do you know the answer? And I'm not, this isn't to come down on you. This is just the Lord is dealing with some stuff. When your family members come to you and they say, I just got diagnosed with this cancer in my body. I just got diagnosed with these symptoms. They say it's not going to work. Do you know where the answer is? Is it on the inside of you? Listen, you're not always going to be able to fumble through scripture and show them where the answer is. Get it in you. Know what to say. We're supposed to have an answer to everything. We're supposed to be ready in season and out of season. We've got to get the word hidden inside of our hearts. We've got to get the word in us again and again and again. You come to church, you hear the word, take notes, read those scriptures again, say them out loud, listen to the word at night, listen to the word in your car. I'm not saying you always have to, but listen, if you're going through something and you're saying, I don't know why it's not working, the word needs to get in you. It needs to be implanted because every problem is dried up from the roots. Every problem is dried up from the roots. So let's get the answer into the roots of the problem. Amen. Well, praise the Lord.